Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the fourth Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2009.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses spoke to all the people, saying, "A prophet like me will the Lord your God raise up for you from among your own kin. To him you shall listen. This is exactly what you requested of the Lord your God at Horeb, on the day of the assembly, when you said, 'Let us not again hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire any more, lest we die.' And the Lord said to me, 'This was well said. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their kin, and will put my words into his mouth. He shall tell them all that I command him. Whoever will not listen to my words which he speaks in my name, I myself will make him answer for it. But if a prophet presumes to speak in my name an oracle that I have not commanded him to speak, or speaks in the name of other gods, he shall die.'" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
Come, let us sing joyfully to the Lord. Let us acclaim the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us joyfully sing psalms to him.
If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord who made us. For he is our God, and we are the people he shepherds, the flock he guides.
If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
Oh, that today you would hear his voice. Harden not your hearts, as at Meribah, as in the day of Massa in the desert, where your fathers tempted me, when they tested me, though they had seen my works.
If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, I should like you to be free of anxieties. An unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But a married man is anxious about the things of the world, how he may please his wife, and he is divided. An unmarried woman or a virgin is anxious about the things of the Lord, so that she may be holy in both body and spirit. A married woman, on the other hand, is anxious about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. I am telling you this for your own benefit, not to impose a restraint upon you, but for the sake of propriety and adherence to the Lord without distraction. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Then they came to Capernaum, and on the Sabbath Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. The people were astonished at his teachings. He taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. In their synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Quiet, come out of him." The unclean spirit convulsed him and, with a loud cry, came out of him. All were amazed and asked one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." His fame spread everywhere throughout the whole region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Brian. I'm here today with Josh Lang.
Hello, everyone.
Or I should say Deacon Josh Lang, I guess. Josh has been on this podcast before, and Dawn couldn't be with us today, unfortunately. So, Josh, we're glad you're here and willing to discuss these readings with us today.
Good to be here.
Was there anything that you thought particularly noticeable or that you wanted to comment on in any of the readings today?
Well, in the gospel we have from Mark today, one of the things, of course, that stood out to me the most was all the discussion of Jesus' authority, and that even the unclean spirits recognize Jesus' authority. You know, we oftentimes think of atheism as obviously being is something evil. But the evil spirits, they knew who Jesus was. And to me, that just says how much power our Lord has. It tells us that he has power over everything. Even the people that were listening to him said, what is this, a new teaching with authority? And so there was something about the way that Jesus spoke, surely the content that he spoke, but also just the attitude that he had that let everyone there know that he had authority over that which he was speaking. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about that, and it's no wonder that he did, because the whole universe was created through him, so of course he has authority over it.
But I think that that's an interesting thing that you mentioned, too, because that comes out, like you said, the word authority is all over there. Jesus speaking with authority, they ask him, this is somebody who, what is this, a teaching with authority? So you see that word authority coming out quite a bit. And you and I were talking before the podcast how there's a lot of times people in our culture and our society struggle with this whole concept of authority, and it seemed kind of as a negative thing. And of course, Jesus isn't necessarily, as we learn not only just in this passage, but throughout all of Scripture, viewing his authority as something to be lorded over people or as some way to keep everybody submissive to him. But what is interesting, though, like you mentioned, is that the evil spirits recognize his authority, too, because their response is they're afraid. They said, you know, what are you doing here? Have you come to destroy us? So they recognize this authority and find it problematic, which should be good news for those of us who don't want to have the evil spirits running our lives.
Yes.
So in that sense, we find that Jesus has this authority not only to bring about the kingdom of God, but also over evil. So I think that's a real comforting thought for us, though, is to know that Jesus does have authority over evil, over the evil spirits, and over all the evils in our world, because that's what provides us our Christian hope, ultimately, is that you know, we will have this salvation, and ultimately Christ will rid the creation of all evil and restore all things.
Mm-hmm. That's very true.
And as we speak of evils, it seemed in that second reading, Paul had some statements that almost made it sound like marriage is an evil and not a good. I don't know. And I think that perhaps we should clarify a little bit of St. Paul and what's going on there. One of the things that it was mentioned last week on the podcast, too, Don and I were talking about, Paul used a line last week. He said that married men shouldn't act like they were married. And we said that wasn't licensed to run off to the bars and do whatever you want as a married man or to start dating and find some girlfriends. But again, we have Paul, it's a continuation of that same passage, and he's talking about the unmarried person being able to devote themselves to the Lord and the married person being anxious about things of this world. And I think it's important to note that there's upcoming verses, the verse actually right after where this reading ends, verse 36, this is 1 Corinthians 7:32-35, but verse 36, he does talk about marriage, and he says it's not a sin to get married, so he's clear on that. But Paul is coming from a mindset where he's believing the end of the world is going to be coming anytime soon, so he's a little off on his timeline there. And because of that, he's not really seeing all the point to worrying about things of the world anymore, because mm-hmm. it's all coming to an end anyway. You know, unfortunately, or fortunately, I guess for us, it didn't come to an end.
Yeah.
But what it means is that Paul's, the unfortunate thing is that Paul's conception of relation to the world sometimes can be a little bit off, because he's expecting it to end any minute. And so that's why he's saying not to be worried about things of the world. And if, again, if the world was going to end, you know, we knew in a month or something like that, it really wouldn't make a whole lot of sense for people to run out and get married, or to, you know, for me to plan my ordination, or you either.
So, that's right. Stay as you are.
Right. Just worry about the things of the spirit at that point. And so that's kind of the mindset Paul is coming out. That being said, though, he does talk about some of the virtues of chastity and virginity, and that's something that you and I are familiar with because we get it drilled into us here at the seminary here.
Yes.
And perhaps you have some thoughts on that or anything you'd want to share in terms of how you see that?
Well, I think it's very telling what St. Paul says here, that he's telling all of us this not to impose a restraint upon us, but for the sake of propriety and adherence to the Lord without distraction. So To me, that's what clerical celibacy means too. It's something that frees me. It's actually a freeing thing, not a restraining thing, that allows me to give all of my energies and all of my time to serving the church. And so that's what I see here too. And St. Paul, we all know that he can be a little bit forceful sometimes, but he uses compassion, and he eases up on people when it's necessary. And here he does too, and he reminds us. He says, you know, this is not just a rule I'm pulling out of the air or a suggestion I'm pulling out of the air. This is really something I'm suggesting so that you can be more fulfilled and so that you can serve the gospel better. And so to see the virtues of chastity and even celibacy as a positive thing is something that our world isn't necessarily familiar with, but yet it's something that we're invited to see.
Okay. Now, Josh, you just did something here, and we like to call people out on these things on the podcast. You used the word chastity and celibacy.
Ah, yes.
Can you perhaps explain what you mean by each term? So that a lot of times you hear them in our society, they're thrown around as interchangeable, but I think there's a distinction you're trying to make that. So if you could just expand on that a little.
Sure. Well, chastity is a broader term. So everyone in the world is called to be chaste. And chastity has to do with how you use the gifts of the sexual powers that our Lord has given us. So it has to do with using them in conformity with God's plan for us and using them in a pure way that is in conformity with that plan. Now, celibacy, of course, has to be chaste as well, mm-hmm. because that's just part of it. But celibacy is something different in that you're promising to not be married. And so then that is a particular call within chastity. To not be married, and then of course to act accordingly in your how you use your sexual powers.
Right, but a married couple too is also, like you said, called to chastity. So that would be by living a faithful life to their spouse and living appropriate to that state. So,
right. Yes.
And I think that's the distinction there that you made. So we're all called to this chaste state of life, and I think that's important for us to realize, and certainly that comes up over and over again in our Catholic theology. I think that this whole passage can be, you know, real difficult, this being anxious of the things of the world versus devoting ourselves to things of the Lord. One of the things that I've heard talked about is the images that we get of both from the celibate life and the married state. One of them shows us that it's a very earthly image, that would be marriage, and it reminds us, though, of our union with God. So the love between husband and wife should be reminiscent of the love between God and his people.
Mm-hmm.
And the celibate life, on the other hand, is what we call eschatological. It's looking forward to the end times, where I'm on a Paul kick here, where Jesus says in the end times that there's no marriage, there's no man or woman. And I think that that's what the celibate life stands to represent, is just as a reminder that this world is not the end-all, be-all, so to speak, that there's something beyond this world.
Right.
And I think that image comes right out of here of St. Paul, where he does acknowledge that the married life does show us in this world, and it reminds us that we are in this world, which we are, and we need to live in this world, and we need to live a life that's faithful to God and that reflects that love that God has for us. The celibate life reflects that same message, in a sense, that we do need to reflect the love that God has for us, but it also reminds us, you know, not to become obsessed with the worldly things, because this world is going to pass away and there will be a new world that comes about.
It's true. It's celibacy can be sort of a sacrament of the eschaton in a way. Sacrament in the loose sense, which means that it points to something that is partially hidden right now, something that's going to come about in a more full way later on.
Mm-hmm. It's fully revealed there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I can see, Josh, that we are coming towards the end of our podcast this week. So I thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
It's always a pleasure to have you on this podcast, and we love having you on them. So anytime you want to join us, just let me know.
The pleasure is mine.
Okay. Well, and we hope all of our listeners will continue to join us too, week after week, on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.